Brethren, in our study today, we're going to consider what the Bible teaches about the binding of Satan. So let's go to Revelation 20, starting with verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison. Who is the angel coming down from heaven? Most students of scripture do recognize that this angel here in Revelation 20 is Jesus. Jesus is described as an angel 3 times in Revelation. The word angel simply means messenger. Jesus is Michael, the archangel or chief messenger of Jehovah. No created being is powerful enough to bind the personal Satan, except for Jesus himself. We're now going to examine each of the 3 symbols in verse 1, the key, the bottomless pit, and the great chain. Regarding the key, Luke 11:52 says, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." They replace the key of knowledge, the Old Testament scriptures, with their own traditions and speculation. Jesus spoke to Peter in Matthew 16:19, and he said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Bind and loose were the Apostle Peter's power and his authority to forbid or permit, to decide under heavenly guidance and sanction. The key is the authority to reveal truth and error. Jesus primarily is the one with that authority and will use the truth to ultimately lock Satan in the pit of powerlessness. On Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, through the power and authority granted him by Jesus, used the key to open the gospel message door and opportunity of the high calling to the Jews. 3.5 years later, with the same power and authority, he used the key to open the door to the Gentiles when he baptized Cornelius. The bottomless pit is a condition of powerlessness or dormancy. In Revelation 27, and when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison. That Satan is released from prison after 1,000 years supports the idea that this bottomless pit is a condition of powerlessness or dormancy. Now we find the bottomless pit earlier in chapter 9 of Revelation. Verses 1 and 2, "And the angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit." He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit. Wycliffe, who had a doctorate in theology, was the 5th messenger and star fallen from the ecclesiastical heavens when he was removed from his university teaching post. Wycliffe released long-lost Bible truths, both by his writing and his preaching. By translating and making the Bible available in English, he gave access to many others to the key to unlock dispensational truths that had been captive in the pit. The bottomless pit here symbolizes the condition of powerlessness. The same word is used in Romans 10:7, where it is the condition from which Jesus was resurrected. Who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? Likewise, in Revelation 20, the pit or abyss is the powerless condition of Satan after he is fully bound. A chain is a means of restraint. We suggest that the connection of links is the connection and combination of truths used to render error powerless. Any one truth alone is good, but the combination of truths and so many truths being unhidden render Satan powerless, ultimately. Reprint 4609, we believe that every advanced step of light and knowledge is that much of a restraint upon darkness and evil and superstition. We properly enough speak of the chains of superstition, the chains of darkness, which bound mankind for a long time, and very properly we say that these are of the adversary. Ephesians 2:2 tells us the prince of the power of the air is Satan. Jesus sent the apostle Paul on a mission in Acts 26:18 to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Satan is the prince of darkness. Satan hates the light. The light is Satan's kryptonite. All who follow Satan's ways hate the light. John 3:20, for every wrongdoer hates, loathes, detests the light, and will not come out into the light, but shrinks from it, lest his works, his deeds, his activities, his conduct be exposed and reproved. Mark 4:22, Jesus said, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Satan's power becomes more restrained as people look beyond the institutional authorities to research and investigate and find truth, much in the same way as the early truth days when many searching Christians looked outside the teaching of organized religion to the studies in the scriptures brought to them by colporteurs, which books they could never find in a bookstore due to censorship, a censorship which even exists today because you'll never find the volumes in a major bookstore. Revelation 20, verse 2, and he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Who exactly is being bound here? Jesus seizes the dragon. However, who is being bound? Four names are mentioned: the dragon, serpent, devil, and Satan. It is actually the dragon that is seized and bound. Then three other names are added to its description. More on that later. For now, we ask, who is the dragon? To answer, let's remember that in Daniel 7, the four beasts represented governments with their civil and ecclesiastical power and authority. They are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. When combining the four beasts, we have a total of 7 heads and 10 horns. We have 7 heads because Greece by itself had 4 heads. It's Rome that had all 10 horns or divisions of power in Europe. Just like the beast in Revelation 12:3 says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. And maybe during the break time, we'll talk about if China has any connection, but not here. Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent, the old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The dragon here is Roman civil government. As you will recall in our Revelation 20 discussion, Jesus is binding the dragon. The dragon is the civil and ecclesiastical power of the Holy Roman Empire and its former colonies. This is what Jesus has been restraining and binding since his return in 1874. And just as in Revelation 22, the dragon here goes by three other names, serpent, devil, and Satan, we think these descriptions all portray the four attributes of Satan. As the god of this world, Satan exercises evil power through civil governments, ecclesiastical authorities, giant corporations, big media, and institutions. He is a deceiver, false accuser, an adversary of the righteous. Satan's ugly attributes are a corruption of, and in stark contrast to, God's beautiful attributes. God exercises power for the good of all creation and will soon establish a righteous global government on earth. God is wise, just, loving. Satan, as a deceiver, drives man to foolish decisions to thwart godly wisdom. Satan's false accusations, his false accusations, thwart God's justice. His role as adversary is in opposition to God's love. How does Jesus bind the dragon for 1,000 years? Is the personal Satan himself fully bound on year one of 1,000 years? To answer, notice that the binding of the dragon or civil power, as well as the complete restraint of Satan's influence, is a gradual process of 4 steps, enumerated as follows. Seize the dragon. Number one. Number two, threw him into the pit. Number three, shut it. And number four, sealed it over him. As we can see, the stages of the binding of Satan run parallel to the smiting of Daniel's image. We believe that the complete restraint of Satan's spirit body is at the end of the binding process. More on how to apply these 4 stages later. Matthew 12:24-26. The Pharisees said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand?" How can Satan cast out Satan? The answer is that, like the body of Christ, the Satan is made up of many members, with Lucifer, or Satan himself, as the head. The body members of Satan include the fallen angels, as well as Earth's establishment institutions, including the elite power cabal funding evil activities, namely the wicked rich of James chapter 5. James 5 verses 4-6. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Notice 4 evils of the wicked rich cabal. Number 1, fraud. Number 2, inflicting oppression. Number 3, false condemnation. And number 4, murder. These 4 evils line up well with the attributes of Satan, their head. The dragon's pride and power are exercised through oppression and control over the people. James 5 verses 4 and 6, cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Oppression. As the serpent or deceiver, Satan's institutions cause fraud through burdensome and excessive taxation, unfair wages, currency inflation, and debt enslavement of the public. For those who fight Satan's institutions, they receive condemnation in corrupt courts or murder masked as suicide or an accident. This is what James 5 describes: oppression, fraud, false condemnation, and murder. Since the Bible says so, we expect it must be true. If Satan's kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. What could cause such chaos and discord in Satan's kingdom so as to divide it? Jude 1:6, and the angels who do not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Reprint 4976, these evil spirits are restrained until the judgment of the great day, the thousand-year day. We find at this very day evidences that these fallen spirits are obtaining more liberty. We have reason to believe, on what we think reliable information, that there have been materializations. Reprint 4069. Our understanding is that this great day of the Lord began chronologically in October 1874. And from what we can learn, it is since that date that materializations have become more and more common. Along this line, we consider that the evidence is too strong to be disputed, that there have been numerous genuine manifestations, materializations, in which the spirit personating the dead has assumed a material body, possessing weight and various qualities similar to a human. End quote. Continuing on 4069, it would appear that for some reason we cannot explain, these evil spirits have special power and liberty, which those who have at any time yielded to curiosity in connection with spirit manifestations. Here we have a fresh reason for our repeated advice that the Lord's people totally refuse to have anything to do with spirit mediums, seances, hypnotism, and clairaudience. Both the apostolic statement that the fallen angels are reserved unto judgment, crisis, testing, and the further statement that the saints shall judge angels, 1 Corinthians 6:3, show that the matter is not yet settled as respects all of these, shows that there is hope for such of these fallen angels, fallen ones, as may heartily recognize their wrong course and return to obedience to the Lord. These fallen angels, demons still in opposition to God, will doubtless ignore the Lord's restraints and use their discovery of the new power or new method of materialization. Those having respect to the Lord and his will would, of course, refuse to use such powers as he had condemned and forbidden and restrained, and thus their loyalty to the Lord would be demonstrated. Indeed, we may be sure that whichever of these fallen angels have repented of their wrong course have abstained from all attempts to communicate with humanity in harmony with the Lord's prohibitions. This great increase in materializations is mostly hidden from the general public by Satan's centrally controlled globalist media and institutions and governments. However, materializations are discussed and reported on censored independent blogs, podcasts, and news media. We think that as a result of their increased liberties and abilities that the fallen angels have broken into factions competing for influence and power over human authorities. Certainly, competing factions of fallen angels would cause division and chaos in Satan's kingdom so as to divide it. Moving on to verse 29, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. In Luke 11, 21 and 22, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Satan was at peace, ruling over his empire, not expecting Jesus to return and to bind him with chains of truth that takes away his armor or institutions. More than ever today, people are learning that the emperor has no clothes, that they cannot trust earth's institutions. Yes, the present heavens and earth are on fire. Verses 39 to 40 of Luke 12. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In order to take Satan by surprise, Bible time and event prophecies had to be so obscure and hidden that Satan would not figure it out, yet clear enough that the saints, with faith and understanding through the Holy Spirit, would accept, understand, and embrace the time features of the meet and due season when provided by the wise and faithful steward. This intended obscurity to mislead the adversary invites doubters to debate these treasured insights. Reprint 4609. He thus intimates that Satan would not know at what time the catastrophe would come upon him and his arrangements, and that therefore he would be taken somewhat at a disadvantage. Reprint 3355. The house referred to is the present evil world, the social structure as at the present organized. It is not necessary to conclude that Satan is meant, although he is, in a general way, the master of the present institutions, the god of this world, the prince of this world. We may properly enough understand that the good man of the house is here signify earthly governments, the powers that be, the representatives of the 10 toes of Daniel's image and his fourth beast. Psalms 149:5-8. Let the saints be joyful in glory, a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor has all the saints. And Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God and truth in all its forms is the enemy of darkness, causing people around the world to uncover the evils of and lose faith in earth's crumbling governments and institutions. Reprint 5761, this honor have all his saints to execute the judgment written. All the saints would include then those who would be living in the world when the judgments are executed, as well as the resurrected saints. reprint 5804. The Lord's people who keep close to his word are now able to tell forth the wondrous story of God's love, wisdom, justice, and power as never before. And the truth is surely accomplishing a work of binding and feathering of error. We believe that the words of the psalmist in this text are being fulfilled at this time. To some extent, at least, we are already engaged in the great work here depicted. End quote. Though through witness efforts, we may play a role in this great work, the last remaining saints, when glorified, will certainly participate in the treading of the winepress, Babylon's final complete destruction, and as well the judgment of the fallen angels. Hence, this honor will have all his saints. Revelation 8:21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence and the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Volume 4, page 111, the restless sea of ungovernable people. At that point in time, the masses of people will no longer submit to Babylon's deceptions and oppressions. Isaiah 53:12, therefore I, Jehovah, will divide him, Jesus, a portion with the great, Jehovah, and he, Jesus, will divide the spoil, mankind blessed under the new government, with the strong, the church. We think that the spoil is the old governments and institutions of Satan's dominion displaced with Christ, his incoming arrangements, and his bride as earth's judges, priests, and kings, soon to install a righteous government over the earth. Daniel 2, verses 34 and 44. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left to another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. What is represented by the stone that strikes Satan's kingdom? This great image in Daniel 2. It is called the kingdom in verse 44. This is the heavenly kingdom that crushes the earthly kingdoms. This process began in 1914 with World War I. Matthew 21 verses 42 to 44 says, Jesus said to them, the chief priests and elders, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The people are Christ's glorified body members, which for over a century, as part of the great stone, have been breaking Satan's systems into pieces, the final members of which will participate in the treading of the winepress. Notice that in Daniel 2:44, it is in the days of those kings that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. This is setting up of the kingdom began with the raising of the sleeping saints after Jesus returned. Jesus' thousand-year reign began with his laying hold on the adversary's systems, not by establishing peace. The reign of the church with him for that thousand years has just as gradual a beginning as the binding of Satan. We do not believe that Revelation 20 requires that all the church members reign for a full thousand years. More on that later. Psalms 2, 2 to 6. the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers of the council take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their feathers apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. In Pastor Russell's sermons, page 695, we read, the money kings, earthly rulers, and ecclesiastical princes are taking counsel together for the preservation of present inequities of the world. They're preserving the present inequities of the world by design, brethren, continuing on, by which they are profiting. The Lord declares that in this, they are banding themselves again against him and his newly appointed King Messiah. For over a century, human liberty has been making progress despite every endeavor to restrain it. Earth's potentates perceive the rising tide of human intelligence and the demands for equal rights. They perceive that unless something is done to counteract this general movement, the special advantages and privileged class will disappear. Even now, they are taking counsel together how to break the restraints which the people are putting upon them and how to reinaugurate a reign of autocracy, such as prevailed a century ago, but now upon a higher plane controlled by brighter wits, restraining more intelligent masses. Today, the global chaos we see is evidence the ruling powers are losing control. In history, October 18, 2020 may be remembered as the social media night of the long knives, when many top independent personalities were permanently deleted from YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and other mainstream social media platforms. Massive censorship is an act of desperation, and it simply moves the Lord's great army to other venues, especially on the internet, in order to continue broadcasting their anti-government, anti-institutional, anti-establishment, anti-globalist messages. President John F. Kennedy was aware of the globalist threat to America and tried to stop it. However, it was not yet God's time to grind the image into powder. Since time will not permit, we will make available links of the dire warnings from President Kennedy and President Eisenhower, which we think are well in harmony with Brother Russell's warnings. Let's now move to an Amos prophecy that provides further insight into the activity of our reigning Lord who is binding the dragon. That is binding Satan's civil authorities and systems. Amos 5:18 to 20. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and the serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark, with no brightness in it? We suggest that the fleeing man represents the world's experiences in the dark time of trouble. The lion is Britain's national symbol. Great Britain colonized weaker nations and ruled the most expansive empire on earth. The sun never set on the British Empire. World War I began the breakup of this empire with the loss of many of its colonies. We suggest that the Russian bear picture begins with the Russian Bolshevik Revolution in 1970, up through the fall of the Soviet Empire in 1991. In 1998, a revolution began in Poland and continued in Hungary, East Germany, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, and Romania. The Soviet Union dissolved in December 1991, resulting in 11 countries which declared their independence from the Soviet Union, while the Baltic states regained their independence in September 1991. Communists failed in East Europe, and socialist policies have since bankrupted the West. We suggest that the House pictures a combination of nationalism, populism, patriotism, decentralization, and an anarchy of civil disobedience. This is a anti-establishment, anti-globalist movement. In recent years, we have been experiencing a global information war. The money powers had great control of the major media outlets and thereby the ability to mold and influence public opinion. In recent years, independent media personalities and organizations have grown so large in influence that the money powers have had them banned, demonetized, censored, and deleted in a near complete purge now from YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and other media platforms. In this new cancel culture, these competing independent news personalities and organizations have simply fled to other platforms like Telegram, Gab, BitChute, Rumble, and the like. And many of these newer platforms are now massively growing in size and popularity. Certainly, the Lord's people who have been oppressed and censored for 2,000 years can sympathize with others so browbeaten and repressed. Even today, Christian Questions would be unable to get on a major AM radio station because they don't believe in Trinity, hell, and immortality of the soul. We suggest this information war will end with the death of globalism, with its institutional socialist controls, and that we will see a growth in independent and decentralized governments and institutions ending Satan's centralized control. This is a movement in the direction of true freedom and limited anarchy, largely in the form of civil disobedience. These are our suggestions, brethren. We know other brethren will have a different point of view, but we hope that these will be stimulating for consideration. In this Amos prophecy, the man leaning his hand on the wall is bitten by the snake. We suggest that mankind will feel they finally have the solution in their independent house, supported by new anti-fraud blockchain financial systems, also new decentralized groups, guilds, and associations, replacing the old centralized institutions, and will collapse. And with the collapse of the central banking system, perhaps followed by a global debt jubilee, we wonder if we will see the appearance of new novel low-cost clean energy technologies, as well as cheaper and more efficient medical treatments and cures. Confidence in this new arrangement seems to be implied by the man's hand leaning on the wall. Ezekiel 38 describes Israel before the military invasion as wealthy, at peace, and without walls of military protection. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it says, peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Perhaps this all means that prior to Ezekiel 38, that mankind moves into a perceived era of worldwide peace. The serpent aptly pictures that Satan's deceptions would perhaps take advantage of mankind's newfound confidence, prosperity, and apparent world peace to leave them unguarded for an attack. The serpent bite, perhaps, will be the Revelation 17 church state hour of power, followed by the Ezekiel 38 battle and the treading of the winepress. Here, Satan's empire strikes back. We can also think of this as General Custer's last stand. Let's consider an Elijah picture. 1 Kings 19, verses 7 to 9. The angel of the Lord said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in a place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" On the strength of the meat in due season, the church journeyed 40 years from 1874 to 1914, shortly after which Brother Russell completed his course. God's question, "What are you doing here?" So too, this was a test on the brethren. What are we doing here? The establishment of the kingdom on earth has not yet arrived with the resurrection of the ancient worthies. What is now our purpose and mission? Some became discouraged and gave up. Yet the true purpose and mission is the same as it has always been, to complete our full consecration to the Lord, to serve the Lord, the truth, and the brethren, and to preach and witness the truth to the world, all the while remembering the words of the prophet Habakkuk, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." God's purpose operates on his well-planned timetable, not our impatient timetable. Reading on, verses 11 and 12. "Then he," God said, "go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after a still small voice." Since 1914, the church class has been watching these signs, the first of which was the winds of war, of World War I. I'm sorry, there's some background noise. Maybe that could be muted. Since 1914, the church class has been watching these signs, the first of which has been the winds of World War I, which resulted in the end of the divine right of kings, breaking off of British colonies, and the Balfour Declaration, which set aside Palestine as a homeland for the Jewish people, the communist Russian and Chinese revolution earthquakes began in 1917, were later followed by an earthquake, as we previously considered in the Amos prophecy with the bear. This revolution in the Soviet Empire, including Eastern Europe, freed over a dozen nation states from Soviet control. These events were well symbolized in 1989 by the fall of the Berlin Wall. Since 1991, the fire we suggest includes the influence of the Lord's great army, especially on the internet and throughout social media, burning away faith and trust in Earth's governments and old institutions. The present-day consuming fire we are now experiencing, we suggest, is the coming destruction of the James V wicked rich globalist control over governments and institutions on our planet to be replaced with a more free, independent, and decentralized system leading up to the end, Ezekiel 38 and other end time prophecies. We suggest that the fire of truth and secrets revealed will continue to consume the old order at certain times and locations, manifesting as an anarchy of civil disobedience against the rules and laws perceived as unjust. After the completion of the burning of Satan's systems, including the treading of the winepress, next the resurrected ancient worthies can begin the nucleus of the kingdom as a still small voice, which will grow over time and be eventually heard loud and clear around the world. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works discovered therein shall be discovered. The heavens and earth on fire does not consume everything, only Satan's systems. The fire consumes the civil and ecclesiastical systems and social order. The burning heat dissolves the systems because the truth about them is exposed and discovered. Satan has used lies and propaganda to hide the truth from the public, but the Lord's great army maneuvers around the lies and deceptions to find the truth and broadcast it to the awakening and searching public. Hebrews 12:26-27. And the Lord's great army is mixed with truth and error, we know. But there is revelations made to the public. Hebrews 12:26-27. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this yet once indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Overland Monthly, page 336. Only those things which are harmonious with divine standards, which cannot be shaken, will remain. The shaking of the heavens referred to the destruction of the present religious control, churchianity, and the shaking of the earth refers to the destruction of the present social, financial, and political affairs. By methods everywhere reprehended, stocks and bonds have been issued for sums far beyond their actual value of the properties. Now, in the opening of the new dispensation, when everything is being shaken, we are to expect that all such stocks and bonds will be shaken in value until everything like dishonesty and inequity shall have been shaken out. Reprint 5916. St. Paul says that everything which can be shaken down will be, and that only the kingdom which will then be set up and which cannot be shaken will remain. The present order of society, the nominal church systems, financial institutions, political institutions, all will go down. Reprint 4976. The apostle says that the fallen angels are restrained in chains of darkness until the great day. And so we find at this very time, this very day, not only evidences of the inauguration of the new dispensation, the blossoming of the wilderness, the electric light, and all the blessings belonging to the new dispensation, restitution infrastructure has been developed since our Lord's return in 1874 and continues to be developed and improved. We suggest that certain environmentally safe systems, technologies, building structures, and inventions will survive into the earthly kingdom based on what the Lord selects as beneficial and appropriate, with continuing upgrades, replacements, or improvements as would be beneficial. These remaining things will continue along with the harvest message cast unto mankind and waiting for them to discover it on perhaps a newer and better internet. We suggest that quantum computing or better will greatly reduce or eliminate technology wait time. Blockchain technology or better will be used for fraud prevention, which will draw mankind closer to the honest weights and measures taught in the Old Testament. Regarding the millennial age, we suggest that a common mistake is to assume that Revelation 20 is indicating that every member of the 144,000 must each reign a full 1,000 years. With this reasoning, it would be proposed that the 1,000 years must be still yet future. Revelation 24 says, "Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So that's the New American Standard Version and also the Revised Standard Version. They came to life and reigned for 1,000 years. The 20th century New Testament, they were restored to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We suggest that verse 4 is simply describing two events that take place during the 1,000 years. Event 1, the sleeping saints are resurrected. They are restored to life. And event 2, they reign with Christ. We do not think it is telling us that each individual member of the church must reign for a full 1,000 years. Rather, we are provided with two events that play out during the 1,000 years. Revelation 2:26-27, "And who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, I will give him power over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel." As we recall from Daniel 2, the stone representing Christ's head and body breaks the image in pieces. From the time when the sleeping saints were raised from the dead until the present time, the glorified church has been dashing the nations of Satan's empire in pieces. If faithful, we will soon join in this work on the other side of the veil. After this, the complete glorified church under Jesus will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation 20 verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and he who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found from them." Since Jesus as the king in 1874 returned on his great white throne, earth and heaven has been fleeing away. This is the same earth and heaven now being burned up with fire, as recorded in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 8 shows this occurs during the 1,000 years. The beginning of the 1,000 years is not to establish the peaceable kingdom. It is to destroy Satan's civil, ecclesiastical, heavens, and social order. This is more clear today than ever before. Let's hear Brother Russell describe in his own words that the 1,000 years had already begun in his day. And if you cannot hear this, Brother West, let me know.
The photodrama of creation presents the 7 days of creation as 7 epochs, each 7,000 years long, and the 7th day as not yet complete. In this view, 1,000 years of the 7th day remain, during which earth and her population will reach the grand perfection designed by the Creator. It is held that this final 1,000 years has already begun. To this fact is accredited the great progress of our day, intellectually and materially. In other words, the great 7th day of the Genesis account is itself a great week, each day of which is 1,000 years long. The 6 already passed have been man's work week of struggle against sin and death under the curse pronounced in Eden. Now the great Sabbath is beginning. It is God has promised that the curse shall roll away from before the blessings of Messiah's kingdom, for which so long we have prayed, thy kingdom come.
Brethren, we will leave links to the PowerPoint and some additional reprint articles on the giant corporations by Brother Russell, and we'll provide links to the videos all in the chat. We'll close with Revelation 21 and 4. Now I saw a new heaven and earth. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.